When I open this book, I think about the price. I'm not talking about Jesus and God. I'm talking about human beings. The price that has been paid that I could have this book in the language that I understand and then the languages I can research. Oh, I think of just one man, Wycliffe. The Roman church did not want each member of their body to be able to read the Bible. They wanted to interpret for them. When he put it into English, they hated that man so. We're not talking about atheists. We're not talking about agnostics. We're not talking about perverts. We're talking about church people. These church rulers hated him so much that they had buried him with honors in England. But they had him, when the Roman church was in power in England, they dug his body up, threw it in the river and let it float away to the ocean. They hated him so badly. And yet I can just open this book. And as I was studying the third chapter of Ephesians, sorry, the first one, I just had to stop and thank God. And I would to God, and I know I can't be. I wish I knew when I was first saved what I know now. What a difference it should have made anyway. But tonight we're going to be feasting on one of the richest chapters in the entire Bible, the third chapter of Ephesians. As I read the first three English words, "for this cause," as I studied the original language for the word "cause," you could actually translate this, "because God gave me a spiritual building to build, a spiritual sanctuary, not visible, but spiritual." And I thought about how enthusiastic some people can get about certain causes. Now, I'll just use two illustrations before we start the study of this chapter. I think it's the World Cup that's going on right now. This one man became so amped on the field playing professional sports. He became so angry, he bit his felt at one of the people on the other team. And I thought about when this boxing thing that took place many years ago, one boxer bit off part of the ear of the person he was having the contest with. The person I was listening to interviewing, they called him and told him about the biting that took place in the World Cup. He said, what's it like for you to look at your ear this many, many years ago? He said, oh, I forgave him. If I had not forgiven him, I'd have lost more than that part of my ear. And I was so touched by that reality. For this cause, I thank God, this church, and you. You're so special. That we have a cause. It's not to hurt people. It's to lift people up and help people. So the apostle starts out this great chapter. Ephesians 3, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ." Paul, why did you have to go to prison? Why did you have, you did nothing wrong. Why are you in prison? "I'm there," he said, "for you Gentiles." You see, once you can know that why something is happening that's not pleasant, maybe even very painful and heartbreaking. If you can find the cause behind it, what is God really allowing this? Why is He allowing this to happen? It's so that somebody can get the message. I was at a place today, and there's a man who was there who works for an Israeli company. And I had a chance to talk to him about what a blessing it is for a Gentile to work for a company out of Israel, the nation of Israel. And by the way, some of you wonder why I haven't gotten into Ezekiel yet. Well, we have this that stops on Wednesday night, and that that stops on Wednesday night. So I've decided to wait till all those things are over with so I can have a flow. the cause. And once I go to God and I find out why this is happening to me or to you, like today, we went up to San Anthony's in the city to visit Virginia. What's her last name? Ashcraft. She used to sit right over here. Such a sweet lady. Such a wonderful person. Such a blessing. Such a person of love. And I see her in that intensive care with all those tubes and all of those apparatuses on her. And she wanted to talk to us so very much, but she couldn't because all that stuff they had on her. There's got to be a reason for that. There's got to be a cause. Let's make it a cause. Let's don't make it something that is destructive. Let's be determined that we're going to find out God's reason, either here or there. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "For this cause, I, Paul, I don't see myself as a prisoner of Rome. I'm in a Roman prison. I see myself as in the prison of Jesus Christ. I have made this for Jesus' sake." If you have heard, verse 2, of the dispensation of grace, did you know that that age began when Jesus died on the cross and arose again? We live in the age of grace. And God help anyone who tries to put you or me or anyone else under the law. Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses. 100%. It's for me to accept that He did it for me. He did it for you. Have you heard? I don't mean have you heard a noise that somebody made a word, but have you heard in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, that there is now an age of grace, of the unmerited love and favor of God is mine. And every day I want to grow in the grace of God. If you have heard of the age of grace, which is given me to you, where He said, I received it first when I was knocked down on the road to Damascus. I went to Arabia and received a teaching from God directly. I didn't go to the apostles. I went directly to God and got my message. And now I'm giving it to you. To you, word. Everything that we have that's spiritual should not be hidden under a bushel, as Jesus used the word in the English, and just translated. But we should let it go to somebody else. Can I help you? Will God allow me to be a blessing to anybody? How that by revelation, and so when He was in Arabia, after He had been knocked down on the road to Damascus, and He went into Arabia. I personally believe He is at the foot of Mount Sinai. That's my own opinion. You don't have to buy that. How that by revelation, he made known to me. God Almighty made known to him, to Paul, the mystery. What is a mystery in the New Testament? It's something that had not been revealed in the previous ages. Wasn't revealed in the age of angels. Wasn't revealed in the age of innocence when Adam and Eve were first in the garden. And on I could go till the age now, the age of grace. How that by revelation, pull back the curtain and made known to me the mystery. There are things that God has allowed to develop. And that's what makes the Bible so rich, is as you begin at the beginning and you constantly see God revealing more and more and more. There's only one more age to come before eternity, and that's the millennial reign of Christ upon this earth, when he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And why, really, will there be an age of the millennium? Because Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. No one will have the excuse to say, the devil made me do it. Because at the end of that 1,000 years, God will allow Satan to be turned loose for a little while. And there will be people that he will deceive. And he will have an army, the final Armageddon, and they'll go down planning to knock Jesus off the throne and take over this old world for the devil. He wants it. He can't have it. But he wants it, and he wants you, and he wants me, and he wants my blessing. The mystery is being revealed during this age. We can know more about God than Moses or Abraham or Ezekiel or Jeremiah, and on I could go, or John the Baptist. Didn't Jesus say that because we are in the kingdom spiritually, that we are greater than John the Baptist? What do you mean by that? Do you mean you're better? No. It means you have access to more knowledge than John the Baptist had. And here we are, reading his word and rejoicing in it. Verse 4, whereby when you read, that you may understand, by knowledge, the mystery of Christ. He's being revealed to you. I pray even tonight. And I pray that until you draw your last breath, you'll get to know Jesus a little bit more than you did yesterday. That you'll see him revealed. And if you have quit, and I'm not saying you have, if you have quit allowing Jesus to be revealed to you, you think you know it all and you know all you want to know and you don't want to know anymore. There are people like that. They don't want to know anymore because they've become responsible. Well, bless God, we want to know more, don't we? Hallelujah. When we read, that we may understand by knowledge, in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages. Now, remember when you see, oh, please get this now. When you see in your English, at least the King James translation, when you see the word ages and the word world, you want to do some studying because there's different meanings. And here, the word ages comes from the word we get generation from. It's the Greek word G-E-N-A. And so he's saying, which in other generations, in the past, when people lived on this earth, before the generation that you're living in, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men. There were things they never knew that we can have total access to. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that something to thrill you that God let you be born during this time? Oh, what a time to live! When you read, you may understand by knowledge the mystery of Christ, which to other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. How? By the Holy Spirit. That the Gentiles, that's us, should be fellow heirs. We get to be spiritual children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We get to have the spiritual blessings that the Gentiles, that's the mystery that's been being revealed, should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. And how do you learn that? By believing the gospel. God help me when I stand here in front of you preaching, if I don't bring you some good news from God. Tonight, there's good news for you. I don't know what it is. It's different for everybody. But tonight I want you to say, God, I want to know what good news you have for me in this old rotten world that we live in. I want to hear some good news. Whisper something good to me. Wherefore, he said, for this reason, I was made a minister. Now, when we read the word minister, we usually think, well, he's a pastor of a church. Sometimes when I do a marriage license, it wants to know what office. Sometimes I'll put pastor, sometimes I'll put minister. Whatever comes to my mind when I'm filling out that piece of paper. But the word minister here is the same word that is translated deacon. It means people who serve. It means to serve others, therefore serve God. How can I serve God? By serving you. By serving somebody. Now what I'm going to say now, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, and she's not here tonight, Bill. Thank you. She has raised your hand and waved at me. Bessie, are you here? No. Okay. Bessie was sitting right down here. She called Brother Don Crosby. She called you Sunday morning. She chased me all day. She came here and heard the sermon, or at least the sermon was preached. I went over and gave her $100 bill. She almost had to have artificial respiration. You say, you shouldn't have done it. Well, if she had enough tenacity to chase me all day long and come down here and sit and at least hear me preach, I decided she deserved something. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God. Given to me, how? By the effectual working of his power. I have no power. I'm evil. I'm depraved. I have nothing that I can offer God. But he has given you and me his unmerited love and favor. Let's receive it and believe it. And when we hear something else say, get out of here. I don't need that. I've got the grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to know the next verse I read is the Apostle Paul who's saying these things about himself. He's not just being some kind of a person who is trying to look like he's a martyr. He's saying what is really true in this next verse. It's actually grammatically called a superlative. It's more than you can explain. It's superlative. Unto me, he's speaking in the first person, the Apostle Paul, who am less than the least of all saints. That's a superlative. That means it's beyond explaining. How could Paul be the least, the less of the least of all saints, of all people who have been born of the Spirit of God? He said, I am less than the least, and so am I. But God is looking for someone, a lot of someones, who recognize what they are not and what He is. Glory to God. Unto me who are less than the least of all saints is this grace given. How do you get more grace? By realizing what you're not and who God is through Jesus Christ. Do you receive that? He said, now why was I given this grace being the least of the less of the least, that I should preach? I made this statement in a message last Lord's Day. There are no great teachers. There are great subjects that the teacher teaches. That's what makes a preacher great. It's not who he is or she, but it's the fact that they have come to the conclusion that God will take that which is nothing and make it something. What would he preach among the Gentiles? The unsearchable, I'm reading from verse 8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. You can't ever get to the bottom. That vein of gold, that river of life has no end. The more you dig, the more you find. The more you worship, the more you receive. And then he said these words in verse 9. I told you how rich this chapter is. To make all, the word men is in italics, that means all human beings. To make all see what is the fellowship. What is fellowship? It's sharing. And I have a preacher friend who has gone through a very serious nervous breakdown. When he talks to me on the phone, he tells me he doesn't understand why it's happening to him. I can't understand it. And I've told him, and I can't say any more. And I pray to God, if whatever happens to me, I'll be able to receive this. Take my suffering to the cross and have the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. You say, that's more than I can do. No, it is not. If you don't do it, you're not going to ever know why. You want to know why? Then give yourself to the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. To make all peace see the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, now here we have this word, we better go look up the Greek word, otherwise we're not going to know what it's talking about. Here the word world in the King James is translated age. Which from the beginning of the age, and that age was the age of angels, was the first age, hath been hid of God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now we have a little preposition there we don't want to run past. All things by Jesus Christ. It comes from the Greek preposition die, D-I-E, It means bring into being. So let's read it that way. In the age that hath hid of God, who created all things or brought all things into being, Jesus did that. Why? To the intent. Oh God, I want to know about the meaning of that word intent. It means where this road will end. I want to walk on the road that has heaven as its ending. Into the gates of glory. To the intent that now under principalities, who are principalities? Well, they're good principalities and they're evil principalities. There are demons that work for the devil against you and me. And there are the angels of God. And I believe they're near to you right now. I'm not afraid to say what I'm going to say. By faith, you can reach out and touch them. They're there. Hello. Thank you. Thank you. I know we're not supposed to worship angels, but we're to recognize who they are and what that God has them doing today. I thank God that when the beggar died, Lazarus, there at the rich man's door, when the dogs came and licked his wounds, the only doctor he had was dogs licking his sores on his body. But when his spirit got ready to leave his body, angels came and took him into the presence of Almighty God in paradise. To the intent that now, under principalities and powers, in heavenly places might be known. How? By the church. What is the church supposed to be doing the most? What should be our main objective after a person has accepted Christ as their Savior? Might be known by the church, the body of Christ, the manifold wisdom of God. What's the word wisdom? What's the simple meaning? The word wisdom here. Let's read another simple word here. That by the church, the manifold management of lives by God. Wisdom is managing that which is in need of being taken care of. How you do it? And God will give you the wisdom. God will give you the ability to manage the economy of the gospel. And then we close with verse 11. How shall we use this management that we have made been responsible for? You've been given life to manage it. How are you doing? How am I doing? According to the eternal purpose that he purposed in Christ our Lord. It's really, really wonderful to know there are four eternals. The eternal Father, the eternal Son, the eternal Spirit, and God's eternal purpose. And I am daily seeking that he reveal to you and me the purpose of our lives. If a person doesn't know why they're alive, then they're miserable. But tonight there's a purpose. You are a person who God has given a purpose. Find it. And then you'll find the eternal blessings of God. And thank you for letting me have the honor of opening this precious book and studying and trying to give to you a gift of the Word of God as we stand to sing.
Let's see, we want to take the hymn book and open it to page 282. I don't know if we have this one in the... on the screen yet. 282, Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Let's offer this up.
Living for That's the purpose. Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do.
Thank you.
Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord.
Just a moment, brother.